Song. I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 6. I don't know about you guys, but I have greatly enjoyed, Brother Isaac's been working his way through John chapter 6 the last few weeks, just kind of going verse by verse, and I really love the chapter, and which I say that about every chapter we preach, I love that one, but whichever one we just heard, that's the one I love, so. But John chapter 6, we're gonna finish this chapter out this morning. Just look at really a few verses. Once you find your way there, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read and honor the Word of God. John chapter 6, we're going to read two verses here this morning. John chapter 6 and verse 66. The Bible says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray this morning, as we look into your scripture, that your spirit would speak to each of us. Lord, I pray for the one in this room here this morning who might not yet know you as Savior, that they would trust you this morning and be born again. And Lord, for every believer in this room, I pray that you would help us to be strengthened in our faith and our reliance on you. Lord, that we would love you more with all of our hearts. Thank you for how good you are to us and your grace in our life. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So just to kind of walk us to this verse, these two verses that we just read this morning, just a quick recap. You know, like when you watch a show and it was to be continued, they show you what showed last week on the previous episode. So on the last few episodes of Sunday morning with Brother Isaac, at the beginning of John chapter 6, what we found is that there was a multitude of people who came to Jesus, and in verse number 2 it tells us why they came. It says, "And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased." Jesus, at this point, his fame had grown. Just as you can imagine, if someone here in Muldrow was healing people of diseases, not like Benny Hinn does, but like actual healing, right? If someone was actually healing someone who was blind or deaf or mute or paralyzed, it would be kind of a big deal. And word would get out. And wherever that guy went in Muldrow, there would be a crowd watching him. And at this point, when Jesus would travel, crowds would follow him because they had seen and heard what he had done. And so this multitude follows Jesus, and they're listening to him teach, and Jesus he's preaching, he's teaching, and time passes, and the crowd becomes hungry. And so, remember what happens is the little boy has the few pieces of bread and fish that they bring to Jesus, and Jesus has them all sit down, and he gives thanks, and then he feeds thousands and thousands of people with just a couple of pieces of bread and fish. It's similar to when we spent the night in Idabel the other night, and I got the boys, got them Lunchables for dinner. And I thought, well, I'll get myself a Lunchable too. I got to tell you that those don't go very far. Just a couple pieces of bread and turkey. I don't know what I was thinking that it would fill me up, but it didn't. But Jesus took these few pieces of bread and these few pieces of fish, and this is a miracle that he performs, right? He feeds thousands of people with just a little lunchbox. And the crowd, if you remember, in verse number 15, it says, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." The people came because they had seen the miracles, and when they got there, they heard Jesus teach, and they watched him, and they experienced this miracle because he fed them, and they were ready to set him up as king. And Jesus, of course, knew their hearts, and he knew what they were thinking, and it wasn't his time yet to set up his physical kingdom, and so he departs from them. You keep reading through the chapter, and they eventually go to the other side of the lake, right? He sends his disciples on before him, and he meets them on the water. He gets in the boat, and the boat miraculously just shows up on the other side like that. And once he gets there, there's a crowd again. Verse 26, "Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, or truly, I say unto you, Ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Jesus reveals that this crowd, that they came to him the day before, they came because of the miracle, seeking a miracle, but now they're following him because yesterday he gave them a meal to eat. And now they're there because he fed them, and like stray cats, you can't get rid of them. And they're there expecting more food from Jesus. Verse 27, it says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And listen to verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? It's similar to that rich young ruler. You know, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And they asked Jesus, what can we do to do the works of God? What merit can we have? And Brother Isaac mentioned this, that the answer that he gives them over the next few verses wasn't what they were expecting. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. It's not what you do. You have to believe on the Son of God. You have to believe on me is what Jesus tells them. And you work your way down through this chapter, and what you see is Jesus declares himself to be the bread of life, the bread that has come down from heaven. And Jesus, he gives this difficult teaching for them, that he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, and they're trying to figure out what he's talking about here. And what Jesus is trying to get them to understand is that you have to receive me. I am that bread that has come down from heaven, and you must receive me. And in verse 66, where we find ourselves this morning, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. One more time. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why did they walk away? In the very presence of Jesus, having seen these miracles, having been the beneficiary of these miracles, hearing him teach and seeing all that he had done, why did they walk away? I would say they walked away because of unmet expectations. This crowd had unmet expectations. No doubt there were some that expected Jesus to just continue to perform miracles. There were those who, Jesus himself says, you came because your belly was filled and you're expecting another meal today. That's what they expected. And we saw in verse number 15 how they wanted Jesus to set up his kingdom now, right? The Jews were living under Roman rule. And more than anything, they wanted their Messiah to show up and overthrow Rome and free Israel and let Jerusalem be the holy city it was meant to be, with the throne there and the king ruling from his throne. That's what they wanted, but that's not what Jesus was giving them at this time. And they had unmet expectations. And so just imagine this scene, if you will. Here is Jesus. He's out here, and there's thousands of people one day. And he's teaching this way, and it says, from that time, many left, and they didn't walk with him anymore. I mean, just imagine that actual scene. These are people who are turning their back on Jesus and just going home and walking away. Just imagine. It would be as if Jesus were here preaching this morning and you came and you didn't get what you wanted, you didn't hear what you wanted to hear, and you just got up and walked out those doors. You say, who could walk away from Jesus like that? And we'll get more into it in a second, but I got to tell you, we are all too often guilty of walking away from Jesus. Oftentimes because of unmet expectations. And so Jesus asked this question, and this is the title of the sermon. This is really what I want us to think about this morning. When this crowd, they turn their back on Jesus and they stop walking with Jesus. That's what it says, that many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. These were people who were following, who were listening, who were with Jesus, but they walked away, and as they're walking away, imagine this scene. You've got a multitude of people who are leaving, and Jesus turns to the 12. And he asks them this question. a question that is pertinent to us today. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? These 12 in this moment had a decision to make. As the multitudes are walking away, Jesus looks at Peter and the others and he asks them this question. Do you guys want to go too? Do you guys want to go home? Do you guys want to leave? They had a decision to make. When Ashley and I got married on our first anniversary, we decided to go on a trip. We didn't have kids and really nothing tying us at home, so we just started driving. We were out in Clinton and started going west. And we were just going, and we had no idea where we were going. And we started seeing signs for some different places, and if you've ever driven far enough west on Highway 40, there's a fork in the road where you either go to New Mexico or Colorado. That's it. And have you guys ever needed to exit and you waited too long and you almost hit the median? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, well, that's what we almost did. So we really didn't know where we were going. But time was running out, and it came a point where we had to decide. And if you think it's hard to get someone to pick a place to eat, it's really hard for one of you to pick New Mexico or Colorado. Anyways, we went to Albuquerque. That's where we spent our first anniversary. But we had a choice to make, right? There was this fork in the road, and we couldn't just go. We couldn't just not choose. We had to make a choice. It was either this way or that way. And when all the multitude is walking away from Jesus, Jesus looks at the 12 and he says, will you also go away? And in that moment, these 12 have to decide whether they're going to stop walking with Jesus or if they're going to continue walking with Jesus. Amen. And there was no alternative. Amen. Now for these 12, I want you to consider this morning that following Jesus was demanding. Can we agree on that this morning? For these men, following Jesus was the most demanding thing they had ever done. Amen. When Jesus came to Peter, remember he was a fisherman, right? And he spoke to these fishermen and he told them to follow him. And what did they do? They dropped their nets and they followed him. They left their jobs. Peter was married. He left his family to be on the road traveling and learning with Jesus. Amen. We know Matthew left his profession, which is probably for the best anyways. Right, but these men who followed Jesus, it was a very demanding thing. It took their time. It took their attention. It took their energy. And if you go over to chapter 7, just real quick, chapter 7, verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Not only was following Jesus demand on their time and energy and attention, Jesus had already gained some enemies. And because these people were with Jesus, they had enemies too. People who didn't like them. And so they had already begun to hit resistance. And so walking with Jesus was demanding. They had difficulties. They had resistance. And I also want to highlight this morning. The crowd that walked away because of unmet expectations. Do you realize the 12 disciples also had unmet expectations? What was the question they always had for Jesus? When are you going to set up your kingdom? When you do, can I be on your left? Can I be on your right? They were always thinking, Jesus, when are you going to overthrow this Roman government and sit on your throne? That's what they expected from their Messiah. And this was a place of decision where Jesus asked this question, will ye also go away? This morning, I want you to realize that you will each come to these forks in the road. Will ye also go away? Many times young people face this dilemma. They turn 18, they graduate high school, they go to college, and this question remains, will you also go away? Many times tragedy strikes. Maybe you get a diagnosis that's not so good. Maybe you lose a loved one, and this question remains, will you also go away? Maybe you have unmet expectations, health, wealth, prosperity. Maybe trusting Christ and following Christ hasn't hasn't given you what you expected. And if it hasn't, you expected the wrong things. But nonetheless, this question remains, will ye also go away? But it's not just those big events. I think it's a question that we face every day. And just because you walk with Jesus today doesn't mean you walk with Him tomorrow. Amen. I'm going to get even more pointed. There's a tendency for us to think about, because, you know, we're sitting in church right now, and we think, well, there's those who are not walking with Jesus because they're not here this morning, and of course, we're walking with Jesus because we are here. And I got to tell you, just because you're here this morning doesn't mean you're walking with Jesus. Just because you're a member of this church doesn't mean you're walking with Jesus. Amen. Just because you're a teacher or a deacon or a van driver or the pastor, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't mean you're walking with Jesus. It's a choice that we have to make every day. You are either walking away. Listen, in this multitude, there was the many who walked away that day and the 12 who stayed. But you're either walking away from Jesus or you're walking with Jesus. Will ye also go away? I want you to realize this morning that there is a choice. No one makes you walk with Jesus, and you say, well, my parents make me go to church. They can make you come to church, but they can't make you walk with Jesus. Your friends, your parents, your neighbors, they can guilt you into coming to church, but they can't make you walk with Jesus. This morning, I want you to really look into your heart. I want you to be honest and answer that question. It's not, will you also go away, but have you already gone away? I know you're all here this morning. But do we honor Christ with our lips, with our hearts far from Him? Will you also go away? There is a choice to make. No one can force you, not even God Himself. While He could, He chooses not to. It's a choice that you make to walk with Jesus or to walk away from Jesus every day. Will He also go away? And I love this. Listen to Peter's answer. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. If we could all have the perspective that Peter shows here, to whom would we go? It's not that there aren't other options. There are. There's a lot of alternatives. But to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. It's like Peter's thinking, you know, we could go and we could walk away from Jesus and just get involved in the vain religion of our fathers. We could go over here to the heathen, and we could worship their pagan gods. We could just go home and worship, I guess, no God. There's other options for Peter and the disciples, but his mindset is, to who would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen. There's no other option that's better. Amen. And hear me again this morning, there are other options, but there's no other option better. Amen. The truth is that we will all follow someone or something. But there's no one like Jesus. Amen. One of my favorite songs. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Amen. No, not one. Amen. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Amen. No, not one. There is no one like Jesus. He has the words of eternal life. And so Peter, when asked this question, will you also go away? He gives this answer, to whom would we go? Lord, you have the words of eternal life. How silly would it have been for Peter and the others, and how silly it was for the crowd to walk away from Jesus that day. Amen. That multitude who, in verse 66, it says, from that day they walked no more with him. The ones who turned their backs and walked away from Jesus, for whatever reason they had, they weren't going to something better. How silly to turn to the things that are temporary in place of things that are eternal. But isn't that what we do? We walk away from Christ, who has given us much more than we deserve. We deserve the wrath of God because of our sin. And because of our rebellion and our nature. And the Bible says that we are enemies of God in that state. But while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. And he has given us eternal life to those who believe on him, those who have tasted of the bread that comes from heaven, those who have been given grace from Jesus and the forgiveness of their sins. How silly is it for us to walk away from Jesus to pursue earthly pursuits? And we all do it. We all do it. Once again, how easy is it for us to, on Sunday morning, just think about all the people who aren't in church and say, well, those people sure have walked away from Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, over the course of the last week, we've probably all walked away from Jesus. To pursue our own interests, our own hobbies, our own entertainment. But the perspective that Peter shows, to whom would we go? Lord, there's no one better. And if we could find our place in that spot this morning, to whom would we go? I want you to notice this morning, it wasn't just the perspective that Peter shows that we can learn from, it's his conviction with which he says it. Amen. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe and we are sure. And I'm not going to really address these last two verses in the chapter, but I will point out that Peter speaks on behalf of the 12, and Jesus points out, when he says we, that there was one in that, even in that crowd, who wasn't walking with him. Which I think is a good reminder to us that even here on a Sunday morning, in these church pews, one of the things that astounds me about Judas is that, listen to the way Jesus says it, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And even when Jesus said one of you is going to betray me, they were looking around trying to figure out who it was. Judas had blended in so well that even the other 11 had no idea he was the one who would betray Jesus. And this morning in this crowd, you might blend in better than anybody, but if your heart hasn't been given to Christ, God knows the condition of your heart. And you can fool your parents, you can fool your pastor, you can fool your Sunday school teachers, your friends, you can fool anybody, but you can't fool God, and he sees your heart. And Judas blended in, and I can't help but think, because I was one of those two. I blended in to church services, and nobody would have guessed. Well, people probably would have guessed, but and you might not be as secretive as you think anyways. But listen, God knows the condition of your heart, and if you've gone along for days and months and years without turning to Christ in humility and trusting in the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then this morning, it's time to stop pretending and blending in. Amen. But Peter answers and says, we believe and are sure. The conviction that he shows here. When Jesus says, will you go away? Peter says, we believe that thou art that Christ. We believe it, and we're positive. We're sure. We know that you are the one that for thousands of years our forefathers have prayed for, have waited for. We've been expecting the Messiah. We know that you're him. And listen, once again, remember, Peter was on the he was one of the ones waiting for Jesus to set up his kingdom. Peter had unmet expectations. They were wrong expectations. But nonetheless, all those things aside, it didn't matter. Peter said, we know that you're him. There's so much that you can say about John chapter 6, but this crowd, I think what you'll see in this crowd is that they were more interested in the gift than they were the giver. They were more interested in the things that Jesus gave them rather than Jesus himself. It's easy to walk away from things, but it's hard to walk away from a person. This morning, the question isn't just posed, will you also go away? The question is, do you have the same conviction that Peter shows here? Do you believe and are you sure? Are you sure? And that's a personal question for each of you this morning. Do you believe and are you sure that Jesus is that Christ, the Son of God? Of the living God. If not, that's something that you have to decide. Just like no one can make you walk with Jesus, no one can make you be sure about who Jesus is. That's something that only you answer to God for. And I just want to say this morning that if there is one here today who has never trusted Christ, listen, you can be sure. And you can be sure about eternal life. The Word of God was given to us. Listen, God specifically gave us Scripture so that we can know that we have eternal life. We can know the one who gives us eternal life. I think about Paul's words when he said, I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Right? Paul didn't say, I know in whom I've believed. It was a personal. Paul said, I know him. I know him. And this morning, do you know Jesus personally? Not does the person next to you know Jesus, but do you believe and are you sure? We're going to close here in just a moment, but this question that's presented when we come to verse 66 and 67, we see the crowd that walks away. There have been too many times in my life when at that place of decision, whether to walk with Jesus or whether to pursue something that Ben wants to do, I have chosen to walk away. And I think if you're honest this morning, you would all relate to that. And I ask you a second ago, not just will you walk away, but have you walked away? Are you walking with Jesus right now? Let's just be real. We go through highs and lows on our Christian walk. And there are times where we are walking with Jesus, but there's times where we're not. And if this morning is one of those times where you realize that you have been walking away, and here's what you do. You get on your knees and you ask God to forgive you. And you pray that God will rekindle a love for him in your heart. That's what it comes down to. If you're going to walk with Jesus, you've got to love Jesus. But you've got to believe, you've got to be sure. It's been said and it's true that belief determines our behavior. Why did Peter walk with Jesus? Because he believed in Jesus. It influenced his behavior. And if you want to know what you really believe, look at your behavior. Because that'll reveal it. I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me. And as you do, our musicians, you can come forward this morning. And I pray that if there is one here who is yet undone in their sins, that this morning, God knows, he knows. And he has been so gracious to allow you to have another opportunity to trust him. God is not obligated to give you another opportunity. But he's brought you here this morning, and he has set you under his word. And right now, the Holy Spirit, I believe he draws all men to be saved. And if you are in your sins, God makes that clear in your heart. And you know that you need to trust in Jesus, that you can't be good enough to earn your own salvation, and you need to follow him. And I believe this morning that God is also clear to his children of what he expects. And if you aren't walking with Jesus, don't leave in that same condition. Come back to Christ and leave here with a surrendered heart to his will and for what he wants for you. Let's have a word of prayer. We're going to pray that God's will would be done in every single heart here this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would, this morning, if there's one in their sins, Lord, that you would draw them to you, lead them to faith. Lord, I pray for every believer in this room that you would help us each to peer into our own hearts. Lord, that you would help us to see where we stand before you. I pray that you would give us a strong conviction of who you are. Lord, that we would love you above all else, that we would pursue, Lord, knowing you, knowing your word. Lord, I pray that we would be people who walk with you every day. Pray your will be done in the heart of every person here. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.